The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome. We're starting to get Seattle back one block at a time. Hey, can we stop saying that Seattle has taken back CHOP? We never had CHOP. We've taken back Capitol Hill, okay? It was a bunch of anarchist drug addicts who created CHOP, and we didn't take that back. They can have it, okay? So let me get this straight. I want to make sure that I understand things. So you can have felons, armed, self-declared street militants. You can have them terrorize homes and businesses and families up there on Capitol Hill for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And Jenny Durkin says, that's fine. That's okay. Guns being passed out to felons on the street. Jenny Durkin says, that's cool. Even though we need tougher gun laws. Yeah, you haven't had any interest in enforcing them for the last month up on Capitol Hill. See, you were cool with that. There were an untold number of rapes up there, and that apparently was tolerable. The murder of a 19-year-old a week and a half ago, and then the murder of a 16-year-old this last weekend. All of that apparently was acceptable. But when those choppers marched to Mayor Jenny's house, now they've gone too far. We must send in the police. So finally we found out. Felons with guns, rape, murder, terrorizing people, all acceptable. You give me something I can hold on to. Oh, we were all asking, where can we turn? We tried calling. Jenny wasn't answering. We asked for help. Jenny didn't care. I hit the wrong number. Jenny. All right. So with that as mere prelude, let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
We knew this was going to happen. We told you this was going to happen because CHOP was never about social justice or police reform. CHOP was about a Marxist ideology that wants to destroy capitalism, wants to end police forces, wants to have armed militant felons walk in the streets playing soldier. That's what it was about from the very beginning. And what it quickly became, as we predicted, on day one, was a very high number of drug addicts living in tents up on Capitol Hill and Cal Anderson Park, outside the police precinct, all over there. There were a bunch of drug addicts. And drug addicts need one thing more than anything else, and that's drugs. And the biggest purveyor of drugs in our region are gangs. And what happened was gangs started warring up there because there became a turf war of who could sell drugs to the addicts in the tents. Now, is that the narrative that most other were spinning for the public? No, of course not. But what I'm telling you is the truth from many sources that I have in law enforcement and private security and elsewhere, that that's what unfolded. It was inevitable. It was a drug turf war, which is why a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old are dead today. Why three others were shot up there. Why so many women were getting raped up there. And I'm told that if anybody knew the number of rapes, it would blow your mind. As, you know, drug-addicted women were being passed from tent to tent by their addict pimps. I know it's not quite the same story that everybody else was spinning for us, is it? It's not quite what Jenny Durkin was telling us about it at the beginning.
How long do you think Seattle and those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have the summer of love.
Yeah, she thought it was all a big, huge joke. But everybody who knows how the streets operate knew exactly what was going to transpire in Britain. My question is, if everybody in law enforcement, if, you know, a dumb old talk show host like me, if all of us could predict that a month ago, how and why did Jenny Durkin not know this? And what I find particularly, not shocking, but it's a continual source of disappointment with most politicians is, they would rather sacrifice human lives than admit they are wrong. Because everybody saw what was coming at CHOP. Jenny Durkin, what did she do? She just sat on Twitter. I mean, all the things that Jenny Durkin criticizes the president about, oh, he's not paying attention to reality. He just sits and tweets. What was Jenny Durkin doing? While reality was women being raped and young black men being murdered in CHOP. Oh, she was just sitting on Twitter. June 11th. Well, before I read her tweets, the president knew what was happening here in Seattle. The president knew more than Jenny Durkin. And for all of the people who hate Donald Trump, you despise him. And maybe you think that Jenny Durkin is a goddess and you worship her. Can anybody say that Jenny Durkin was more right on this issue in her city than the president? Because that defies common sense. The president was right and Jenny Durkin was wrong about CHOP. Before anybody was murdered, Donald Trump said,
the governor of the state of Washington is weak and the mayor is weak. And what they're doing is setting a precedent that's never been set before in this country. And these people that are taking over this incredible piece of real estate are obviously very good at real estate, maybe better than I was, because they paid nothing. They just took it over. And the police are somehow told not to be there. I'm sure they'd do a good job if they were told to do a good job. I assume they're properly trained. But we would go in there if they want us in, and we will take it back very quickly. It should never be allowed to fester like it's festering right now. It's disgraceful to our country. It's a disgrace.
That was before the two murders. Again, before the two murders.
We're not going to let this happen in Seattle. If we have to go in, we're going to go in. The governor's either going to do it. Let the governor do it. He's got great National Guard troops. He can do it. But one way or the other, it's going to get done.
Okay. Now, clearly, that should have happened when the president was saying it, because then those two teenagers would still be alive today. They'd still be alive today. CHOP caused their deaths. Jenny Durkin caused CHOP. Those are two undeniable truths in all of this. So while the president was saying that, Jenny Durkin was being just incredibly tone deaf. Donald Trump also tweeted, Seattle mayor says about the anarchist takeover of her city, it is a summer of love. These liberal Dems don't have a clue. The terrorists burn and pillage our cities, and they think it's just wonderful. Even the death must end the Seattle takeover now. That was President Trump on June 12th. Before there were murders, he knew the deaths were coming. And Jenny Durkin replied to his tweet and retweeted it with her comment, "Seattle is fine. Don't be so afraid of democracy." Now, again, if you hate Donald Trump and you worship Jenny Durkin, does anybody think that Jenny Durkin was more right about this than Donald Trump? So why did this happen now? Now, let me read you the Jenny tweets before I get to that. June 11th. "It's clear Donald Trump doesn't understand what's happening on five square blocks of our city. Cal Anderson and Capitol Hill has for decades been a place for free speech, community, and self-expression." Did she really think that was what was going on? "Gangs were selling drugs to heroin addicts. Women were getting raped. And Jenny Durkin said, oh, it's free speech, community, and self-expression." Also on June 11th, Jenny Durkin, "Lawfully gathering and expressing First Amendment rights, demanding we do better as a society, and providing true equity for communities of color is not terrorism, it's patriotism." Again, she was still pushing this false narrative that this was somehow about social justice or police violence. It never was. And then she also wrote on the same day, June 11th, "The Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone is not a lawless wasteland of anarchist insurrection. It is a peaceful expression of our community's collective grief and our desire to build a better world. Given his track record, it's not hard to believe that Trump is wrong yet again." Every word of Jenny Durkin's tweet was wrong. "Chaz is not a lawless wasteland," wrong. "It's not anarchist insurrection," wrong. "It's a peaceful expression of our community's collective," wrong. Every word was wrong. And everything the president said about Chaz, Chop, was right. And two teenage boys, man boy, 16 and 19, would be alive today if Jenny Durkin had, her thing was, well, if Donald Trump says this, then we're going to do the exact opposite. So why'd they finally move in today? Yeah, because some of the CHOP protesters went to her gated waterfront mansion last weekend. And that was too much for Jenny. That now they've gone too far, Jenny said. And she spent her time yesterday sending out, or day before yesterday, sending out the letter asking the city council to remove Kshama Sawant because she's gone too far and taking people to my house. Well, if that's your standard, Mayor, then you must resign today. Because you are the one who gave up the streets. You are the one who terrorized thousands of people on Capitol Hill. And I know that their lives are nothing of consequence compared to your life of opulence. I mean, clearly, your life is worth millions of times more than the lives of the people who are trying to work and live within CHOP. I can understand why you would allow them to be terrorized for weeks and weeks and weeks, but one day of terror at your home? Oh, this has to stop. Send in the cops. How tone deaf. How tone deaf. Somebody reportedly sprayed, and by the way, for the record, I think what Sawant did, leading people to Jenny Durkin's home, is also reprehensible. But it is intriguing to me that, and you know, I said this on Twitter, and I think I said it on the show on Monday, that I was really torn Because Jenny Durkin is a U.S. attorney. She had some credible threats against her. And she said she's tried to keep her address private as a security precaution. And I personally think that homes should be off limits. Because families, spouses, neighbors, they didn't ask for these fights. And so I'm generally against it. But in this case, I was really, really torn. Because Jenny Durkin inflicted unimaginable terror on thousands and thousands and thousands of people who live within CHOP and didn't care. She didn't care. And until it came to her house, how tone deaf could she possibly be? Here's what it sounded like as the cops cleared the area this morning. It wasn't tough. Took him about an hour or two. Could have prevented deaths and rapes if you'd done this a few weeks ago, man.
Okay, don't talk to us, please. We're moving here.
Turns out that all those little toy soldiers that they had running around with their guns, playing security, they were nowhere to be found because it was 5 a.m. Cops went in, cleared the streets, took them about less than 2 hours. And so with that, Jenny Durkin's Summer of Love has somehow disappeared into the ether. I wonder if we can get it back. Can we bring back the love, do you think? But that is the pure hypocrisy of Mayor Durkin. She unleashed and then enabled terror on thousands of people at their homes for weeks and weeks and weeks. And she did not act until one day of similar terror was inflicted on her home. She cares about herself a million times more than the people that she calls her constituents. Where's the love, Jenny? That's your big lead for today. Coming up next. Oh, he's coming back on? Really? Last time we fought like cats and dogs. We were screaming at each other. Tim Iman is coming back on the show to tell us what's going on with your $30 car tabs. We didn't have any love the last time we talked. We'll see how this goes coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. One of the questions that I keep getting asked over and over is, yeah, we know about coronavirus and we know about CHOP, but what's going on with my $30 car tabs? And I know it's just unimaginable. It's been 8 months since the people of this state overwhelmingly said we want $30 car tabs, and yet it still lingers on. It did get a state Supreme Court hearing yesterday, and the person behind the $30 tab initiative is Tim Iman, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Tim, good afternoon to you.
Hey, appreciate you having me on.
Man, I tell you what, man, I thought I was infallible with my listeners. And then the last time I had you on, I went after you hard, and my listeners turned on me. They all turned on me because I went after you hard. What is up with that?
What is up with that? Well, you redeem yourself today with $30 tabs.
Jeez, okay, all right. Okay, so I did not have a chance to watch the Supreme Court hearing yesterday. I'm sure you did. What went down?
Remember, this is the third time the voters have voted for it. We qualified the initiative. It overwhelmingly passed huge outside of Seattle, lost in Seattle. But we even got a King County judge, a Jay Inslee-appointed, conflicted judge, to uphold the initiative. Before these nine Supreme Court justices yesterday, it was like Judge Ferguson didn't exist. The Attorney General's office muddled around and sabotaged the case as they've done since day one. There was one lawyer in that room that was actually aggressively fighting to defend our initiative, and he was relegated to 5 minutes during the hour-long thing, Steve Pidgeon. It did not go well for the good guys because the AG's office basically wanted it that way.
Okay, now the AG's office, even though Bob Ferguson personally despises $30 tabs, he hates anything that takes money away from government, he uses the AG's office as a weapon against anybody who tries to restrict money to government. But he still has, since the voters voted for this, Bob Ferguson's AG's office has a legal obligation to zealously defend the will of the voters and the yes vote on 976 for $30 tabs, right?
He could have put an intern on it and they would have done a better job than the meandering, you know, fuddle-headed, muddle-headed guy they ended up throwing into this thing. He's done a horrible job since day one. That's exactly what Bob Ferguson wanted. Throughout the hearing in King County, the King County judge asked the AG's lawyer, what does Section 12 of the initiative do? He said, I don't know. In the Supreme Court hearing, he was asked, well, what about $30 tabs? He goes, well, that's really more of a political characterization. It's really not an actual policy. I was beside myself thinking, this is the zealous defense of the people's vote. I mean, it was infuriating. It was maddening. It's clear the voters knew exactly what they were doing. There was no confusion. But because Seattle has all these government lawyers, King County has all these government lawyers, you want to have the AG's office defending your initiative. Chris Gregoire did. Rob McKenna did. But Bob Ferguson wanted to make sure that he tanked this thing because he's in the back pocket of Sound Transit, and it's just infuriating. The voters should know you didn't do anything wrong. You knew exactly what you were doing, but because it was a conservative initiative, the broken system just took it and spit it out.
So you literally believe that even though he had a legal obligation to defend the will of the voters, you literally believe that Bob Ferguson is sabotaging the $30 tabs and the will of the voters?
Absolutely. Blatant sabotage. Let's start at the beginning. He was asked, King County is a plaintiff in the case. Having a King County judge is a clear conflict. Are you going to try and move this thing out of King County? No. This judge is a Jay Inslee-appointed judge. Are you going to affidavit the judge? No. What does Section 12 of the initiative do? I don't know. What is the initiative actually trying to employ? Yesterday, it's not really a policy. It's more of a political characterization. You have to just look at the step-by-step process and look at Bob Ferguson and his constant attacks on his enemies, but never an attack on his allies, and just put two and two together and just go, is this guy just absolutely out to destroy what the voters just got through voting for? Heck yeah. If this was a liberal initiative, there's no doubt he would have had the A team in there. We ended up getting not even JV. We ended up getting the most pathetic defense ever, and Steve Pidgeon gets 5 minutes to try and clean up the mess. That just isn't enough time.
Okay, and so how long until the Supreme Court hands down a ruling?
I find it inconceivable that they're going to issue anything before the election because a bunch of these justices are on the ballot this November. I mean, this is the most political court we've ever had in our state's history, and the broken system we have, and forgive me for plugging myself, but you have to vote for $30 tabs one more time in November by voting for me for governor because I'm committed to delivering $30 tabs. Jay Inslee refused to implement it. He said we were confused during this vote, and fundamentally, I don't believe the court's going to actually issue their ruling before the election because I think they don't want to make voters really mad at them because they want to get reelected.
Well, look, it's simply outrageous that Jay Inslee has done things like a rent eviction moratorium because people are hurting financially during this COVID crisis. But he could do something that would put hundreds and hundreds of dollars in the pockets of people in King and Snohomish and Pierce County, in some cases thousands of dollars. If you're a family with a teenage kid and you got three cars, and he could do that right now by simply saying, you know what? We are going to implement the will of the voters, and it's disgusting that they're not doing that. It's simply disgusting.
And let's remember, 20 years ago, a King County judge struck down our initiative because it said car tabs have nothing to do with voter approval of every tax and fee increase, regardless of whether or not they relate to vehicles. Gary Locke called a press conference that day and said, regardless of the court's ruling today, $30 license tabs are here to stay. Right. He led the House, the Senate to pass it, 90% vote in the House and the Senate. That was a leader that was willing to accept what the voters wanted, even though he was against the initiative. Jay Inslee, I can't even call him a Democrat anymore because he's not acting like a representative at all. He's acting like a ruler. He's making all decisions for everybody in the state. It's frustrating. It's maddening. I mean, me, myself, my wife and I, we ended up selling off a retirement fund. We loaned $500,000 to get this initiative on the ballot. I did it because I knew in my heart that we had done it correctly, and Judge Ferguson upheld it. But boy, the AG's office is trying to tank this thing since day one. It's really maddening.
Yeah, I know the argument is that the voters were confused.
Confused.
Ballot title, but I think we all knew what we were voting for because I was a happy yes vote on that. Okay, in just the few seconds that I have left, if that's possible with you, what's this thing? What's this thing going on at SeaTac this afternoon?
Well, it's really, really a good battle. Jay Inslee did so many things to us this last legislative session. One thing that flew under the radar screen is they're going to allow facial recognition technology in SeaTac Airport. This is a blatant attack on our Fourth Amendment rights. It's a corruption of our very foundational ideas. And it was basically him and Microsoft teamed up, took out all the consumer protections in this policy. ACLU's against it. It's a huge attack. We're announcing I'm giving a major speech on my opposition to facial recognition technology at the airport. And we're going to do a local initiative with a SeaTac citizen there. Have to get 2,000 signatures to get it on the November ballot so that the citizens of SeaTac get a chance to be able to say, do we want this kind of obscene Big Brother stuff going on in our backyard? So it's a big thing from 1 to 145 today at the SeaTac cell phone parking lot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, same reason I don't want transponders in all of our cars to turn every road into a toll road. I don't want government watching my movement. And look at that. After fighting like cats and dogs last time, we got a couple things we agree on this time. That's what democracy's all about right there.
Isn't it great how Jay Inslee's brought us together, Dory? We all despise him. We all know that he's screwing up dramatically. Bob Ferguson doing horrible things for our state. Isn't it great that they're bringing everyone together?
Yeah. You're the great unifier, Tim.
I'm talking about them.
All right. Tim Iman with us. Tim, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. And it's timforgov.com, Tim, the number four, gov.com.
All right, send me a check for that one. All right, lots more straight ahead. You can text me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Look at that. We can be screaming at each other one day and actually get along the next. That's what I said. My social justice statement is, I am the balance. Okay, in case you missed this, we got this audio right at the end of our show yesterday, and it hasn't gotten very much attention, but I have some comments about the anti-mask people in our state. I'll get to that in a couple of minutes here. But Jay Inslee was in the Tri-Cities yesterday talking about how everybody's got to wear masks inside and out. Out if you're walking within 6 feet of somebody. And as he was talking, hecklers started in on him pretty much right away.
It is our purpose to save lives in Benton Franklin County. And it is also...
Oh, by the way, I got to call myself out as a moron here. Because when Jay Inslee said that at the very beginning, when I played the clip, because I didn't preview any of the clips, we got them in literally right toward the end of the show. And when I heard
it is our purpose to save lives in Benton Franklin County.
I thought he said in Benjamin Franklin County. And I thought, I've never heard Franklin County referred to as that before. And I said, have we not canceled Ben Franklin yet? Why is he saying Ben Franklin? I got all these text messages that I saw as soon as I got off the air. He's saying Benton and Franklin County, you moron. One guy, Dave's a friend, he said, man, you sound like a flatlander. It's Benton and Franklin. I truly thought Inslee was saying Benjamin Franklin County. So I apologize, okay? It's Benton and Franklin. Hey, Governor, start enunciating for crying out loud. You're making me look bad.
And it is also our purpose to attempt to reopen some of the economic activity, which we know has been delayed.
So that guy started heckling Inslee, and then at the end, it grew into a bit of a cacophony, and they literally heckled Inslee off the podium.
All of the mayors that I spoke to today, mayors of Pasco, Richland, Kennewick, West Ridgeland, Mayor of Kennewick was not here today, but Commissioner Delvin, Commissioner, all of these leaders have agreed with me.
You know, the one guy's making such a good point. What about the chop zone? This is over in the Tri-Cities, because Jay Inslee, he's got these controlled press availabilities where, you know, they can ask a question over the phone and no follow-ups. And so a guy's yelling at him. It's a great question. It's one that the governor should answer. If you're telling us that we all have to wear masks, even if we're outside within 6 feet of other people, and the guy's yelling, what about the chop zone? It takes a citizen in the Tri-Cities to finally ask Jay Inslee, but he, like I said,
that this is something
literally got works. Heckled off the stage.
Now, okay, we're going to go inside to complete our discussion. Those who are invited, we will go into a room over here to complete this discussion. All of the recognized media are invited. We'll see you over in a few minutes.
Oh, man. Fast 15 is next.